Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I was just sitting here reflecting on the kind of the theme for today. I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus saying that, I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Can we say that? It's very different. Of course, this is Jesus speaking in His relationship with the Father, but there's a certain parallel, certain level of a parallel in our own lives. Can I say, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the One who created me, the will of the One who gave me life? What do I say? How do I think? This is something you might want to put on your bathroom mirror, somewhere where you can really see it. Am I seeking my own will, or am I seeking the will of the One who gave me life? Something like that. Just put it up on your bathroom mirror. Put it up in, you know, wherever it's something you're going to see a number of times during the day, or at least morning and evening, you're going to be able to see it. Jog your mind, because we need that. We get filled with all the things of the day, or sometimes in the morning we're filled with concerns for the coming day. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? How are we going to handle this? And we can get consumed by that. What you want to do is be consumed by wanting to do the Father's will. It's the happiest place to be. Doesn't mean that there isn't strife and challenges and sadness around us, but deep down in our hearts, we can know a great peace because we are in relationship. We're really in a living relationship with God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and He wants to do it. Take a look at the first reading, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8 to 15. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor, I answer you. On the day of salvation, I help you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people to restore the land, allot the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out. To those in darkness, show yourselves. Along the ways they shall find pasture. On every bare height shall their pastures be. They shall not hunger or thirst, nor shall the scorching wind or the sun strike them. For He who pities them leads them and guides them beside springs of water. I will cut a road through all my mountains and make my highways level. See, some shall come from afar, others from the north and the west, some from the land of Syene. Sing out, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts His people and shows mercy to His afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Don't we feel like that sometimes? God's response, can a mother forget her infant? Be without tenderness for the child of her womb, even should she forget, I will never forget you. Listen to that. That's for you, brothers and sisters. Even though she, your mother, forget you, not care about you, not love you, even, and it's the deepest love there is, a mother and child, even though she forget, I will never forget you. It's God's promise. Again, ask God to increase your faith. As I'm reading that passage, I've been thinking about this passage for a couple of days. I'm reminded of a situation in a major city where a young woman was in prison and showed signs of potential suicide. And she kept asking for help, and she was ignored by those responsible at that time, those hours. And again she asked for help and was denied. And while she actually committed suicide, while she was committing suicide, those responsible for her were taking bets on how soon she would kill herself. I stared at that story. I just stared at it. And all I could think of was this passage that even that woman, lost in her grief, her destitution, in many ways, her serious depression, even though everyone forgot her, even ridiculed her, even mocked her, God will never forget her. God will never forget us, not for a moment. Even if everybody else in life turns against us, God will never forget us. God's love is eternal. Choose him, choose his love above all others, all the time. For the Lord, Psalm 145 tells us, the Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Come to him. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 17 to 30. Jesus answered the Jews. They're always questioning him. Why did you allow this? Why did you do that? Etc., etc. Jesus answered the Jews, my Father is at work until now, so I am at work. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, in their estimation, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. That's blasphemy. What had happened to them was the law had become their God. Rather than God being God, the law had become their God. And they followed it, every jot and tittle of that law. But in so doing, they missed everything that God had for them, because they made obedience to the law the end. They didn't make obedience to the law as worship to God, which is what it should be. It should be our obedience to the commandments should be a sign of worship and honor given to God. Then we've got things in the right perspective. But the Pharisees had made the law their goal. If they were perfectly obedient to the law, then God would reward them. They weren't relating to God, as their Father. It's so easy to shift. It's so easy to make the means the end. And that's what happened here. They did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And of course it would have taken some time. Of course. You've prayed for the Messiah for thousands of years. You have an idea of what he's going to look like. You have an idea that he's going to come and conquer all your enemies, which of course he did, but not in the way that they thought. And so when he came, they had, in a certain sense, remade God in their image and likeness of what he would be like and what he would do and what he would say. And they had ended up with a false God. It can happen. And Jesus answered them, and he said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to rise from the dead to be condemned. I cannot do anything on my own. This is Jesus. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek the will, my own will, but I seek the will of the one who sent me. There's the key. In every case, the life of Jesus himself and the lives of the saints, of those who have gone before us, who have exhibited remarkable holiness, I do only what the Father tells me, so that the world may know I love the Father. I do it out of love. I don't do it out of fear. That changes, that grows. I think we probably all begin doing it out of fear. But as we come to know the Father, as we come to know Jesus the Savior, you want to obey out of love, because you love them, because you want to be with God forever in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My goodness, brothers and sisters, isn't that where we're all going? Isn't that what we all want? Is eternal life with him? My goodness, if all there was this life, it would be pitiable indeed. But it's not true, no matter what the world tells you. No matter what the poison that people have poured out upon you in the nicest words to say, don't believe that. It's this life and then it's done. It's not true, brothers and sisters. It's not true. And Jesus says, I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And when each of us comes into a personal relationship with God, which we do by the grace of confirmation, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are given gifts that can enable us to be among his closest disciples, depending on whether we open all the gifts, depending on whether we really learn how to use them. But God has given us what we need to walk in intimate fellowship with God. Always, always, as you hear me say so many times, always there is free will. You can choose. God does not coerce. That would not be love. He offers. You have the right of free choice. But I ask you, please, choose him. Choose to follow him. Choose to put your whole life in his hands. You can be in no safer place than that. Choose him. He loves you. He loves you more than you know. It takes courage to make that choice, but the freedom and the peace and the love that you receive will far outweigh the cost. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.